What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hi, it's Dr. Will Cole. This podcast is the manifesto for a new breed of health seekers. This is the art of being well. What's up, and welcome to the art of being well. I am a leading functional medicine doctor. I get to consult people around the world via webcam, and I'm a New York Times bestselling author. I wrote Intuitive Fasting, The Inflammation Spectrum, and Ketotarian. If you want to learn more about my clinical work, the telehealth center, becoming a patient, the books, the podcast, there's lots of free resources there for you as well. It's all at drwillcole.com. That's drwillcole.com. And if you haven't heard the news, I have my brand new book, my fourth book, for pre-order right now. It's called Gut Feelings. The subtitle is Healing the Shame-Fueled Relationship Between What You Eat and How You Feel. So I'm really talking about this bi-directional relationship between mental health and physical health, and how, in fact, mental health is physical health, and talking about the research of chronic stress and how things like shame and trauma and intergenerational trauma, how these things can impact our physical health, how it could be stored in our cells, dysregulating our nervous system, impacting mitochondrial function, raising inflammation levels, impacting the gut-brain axis, and in turn, our hormones. But then conversely, how the physical stuff, i.e. the gut stuff, if you will, how things like underlying gut problems, leaky gut syndrome, SIBO, food sensitivities, biotoxin issues like mold toxicity and chronic Lyme disease, how those physical things can impact our mood, impact our how irritable we are, how energetic we are, things like anxiety and depression, and brain fog and fatigue. So I'm so passionate about this topic. I get to talk about it with patients on an hourly basis. And now is the time I get to have the conversation in book form for everybody else. So we're giving away tons of free stuff when you pre-order Gut Feelings right now. There's a three-week mastermind that's online only for people that pre-order. It's with myself and some friends and colleagues of mine like Dr. Daniel Amen, Dr. Caroline Leaf, Dr. Nicole LaPera, who actually wrote the foreword of the book as well. And there's lots of other stuff as well. You can learn about it when you go to drwillcole.com, head on over to the Gut Feelings book page. We're also giving away free signed books whenever you rate and review The Art of Being Well on Apple Podcast. So you can do it two different ways. You can leave your Instagram handle on the Apple Podcast review itself, or you can screenshot your Apple Podcast review and message me on Instagram at Dr. Will Cole. And every month, no matter when you listen to this episode, my team and I will be randomly picking winners every single month. I will reach out to you. I'll ask what book you want me to sign, and we'll send it out to you. All right, let's get to today's guest. She is a longtime friend of mine and such a brilliant human being. Her name is Emma Lowy. Emma is the sustainability and health director at MindBodyGreen and the author of Return to Nature, The New Science of How Natural Landscapes Restore Us. She is also the co-author of The Spirit Almanac, a modern guide to ancient self-care, which she co-wrote with another friend of ours, Lindsay Kellner. You're going to learn so much from her today. Let's get right to it. This is Emma Lowy's Art of Being Well. Emma, this is long overdue. I'm excited it's happening. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me, Will. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I've known you for a long time, and I'm so proud of you. Like, these books that you've come out with over the past years have just been some of my favorites, and I'm excited to talk about your latest.
Oh, well, thank you so much. That's so sweet. We haven't known each other for a long time, and it's been so wonderful to see just your career grow and, you know, be a cheerleader on the side.
Thank you so much. Likewise. So we're going to talk about the science of nature. It's so compelling. It's been a fascination of mine for a long time. And you wrote a book about it, literally, so people can get in on this amazing, exciting science to better their lives. So let's start talking about maybe the phrase forest bathing, because I think when I talk about it, I get some flack on social media, and they without knowing the research or the translation of the word from Japanese to English, they'll say, well, you people in wellness are so freaking weird. You have to have a weird name, forest bathing, to just go out in nature. But there's so much more to it than just going on a hike. So can you explain where the phrase came from?
Absolutely. And I remember sort of having some of the same thoughts when I first heard it. I was like, does that mean carrying a bath into the woods? Does not mean that. Forest bathing, or it's initially called shirin-yoku in Japanese, and, you know, got started in Japan actually by, you know, a group of doctors and MDs who were really interested in reducing stress in Japanese culture. And, you know, there were a lot of forests sort of in the area where they were based. So they sort of had this idea to use that nature exposure as, you know, a potential sort of remedy. And, you know, there's been some really fascinating research done out of Japan about this. So what sort of differentiates, you know, shirin-yoku or forest bathing from a traditional hike, I think, is just the speed. It's a lot slower. So you're really, you know, going into a forest with the intention of really taking in your surroundings, going very, very, very slow, you know, doing, it's more about the journey than the destination, I think. And also just engaging all of the senses. You know, I think it's so common when we do go out to sort of be laser focused on, you know, the sights, or, you know, sort of navigating, you know, from the visual fields. But forest bathing really encourages folks to engage all the senses. So whether it's, you know, the sounds of the wind and the leaves, or, you know, the smells of the wonderful trees. So it's a really beautiful practice. I think there's a lot to learn from it. And there are now forest bathing guides who can sort of, you know, direct these experiences all over the world, which is really fun. So I've had the pleasure of going on a few forest bathing walks as well, which has been great.
Oh, it's beautiful. I would love to try a formal one with the group.
So
you're using nature as a meditation and as medicine too. I mean, right? It is both. And can you talk about some of the maybe essential oils that are naturally in the forest and how that's been really researched as being part of the therapeutic benefits of forest bathing?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's super interesting. I mean, like I mentioned, this research has really been, you know, directed by MDs. So we know a lot about sort of the physiology of what's happening, as well as sort of, you know, the mental health benefits. But forest bathing in particular, and, you know, being really surrounded by trees and quote unquote bathing in their sort of sense, seems to be really great for immune health, which is super interesting. And, you know, researchers sort of think that it has something to do with they're called phytoncides, so the sort of essential oils, like you said, that trees are emitting. And they do this as sort of a way we're increasingly finding to, like, communicate with each other and sort of, you know, communicate different threats and, you know, sort of send signals to other trees in their area. So it's like kind of a protective mechanism for them. And there's research to show that it has some of the same effect on us, which I think is super cool. So just a reminder of how, you know, connected we are with nature. So yeah, they found that after exposures in forests, people actually tend to have greater amount and also activity of something called NK cells. So these are white blood cells that are really important for, you know, serving sort of a first line of defense against different diseases. And they've actually isolated the, you know, different, you know, elements of trees and found that that is what's really having that impact. So it's really interesting. And I think another fascinating thing is that that sort of increased NK cell activity, it happens right after, like, they study it right after people go on quote unquote forest baths. So have that sort of exposure in the woods, but it also seems to stick around. So for up to 30 days, they've done follow-ups and they found that there's still that increased activity. So super, super fascinating. Great reason to get out in the woods.
It's fascinating. Absolutely. So can you walk me through what a typical, you did the formal forest bathing sessions, but if someone's going to do it on their own, how long should they go in to get the benefits? What does, you mentioned walking slowly, taking it in with all your sessions, any other pro tips to forest bathe to get the most out of it?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely encourage people to seek out, you know, a certified forest bathing instructor in their area. They'll really be the ones to, you know, be able to guide you. But just through, you know, my experience chatting with a few of them, I think it's really important, yes, to slow down, like really, really slow. You know, I've covered maybe like, I don't know, a quarter mile in an hour of this practice. So definitely go slow in terms of timing. I would say it matters less. I think as long as, you know, you feel that you, it takes for you to sort of, you know, feel a bit more restored and relaxed. But yeah, again, I think, you know, just engaging the senses, you know, calling in your sense of smell, your sense of hearing. I did this really wonderful practice on one forest bathing walk where I was instructed to close my eyes and then sort of visualize that I was in a snow globe and see what the sound is that was furthest away from me that was sort of hitting the glass, so to speak, which was a really beautiful practice. And it can be done anywhere. You know, I've started to do it in other natural landscapes as well, but in a forest at school, because there tend to just be so many different layers of noise.
That's beautiful. Have you heard about Go Macro? I have loved this company for years. In the face of adversity and fight for survival against cancer, a mother and daughter took their love to the kitchen and Go Macro was born. Now they are spreading the power of a balanced plant-based lifestyle across the country with Go Macro. It's available in 16 full-size mouth-watering flavors and 5 kid flavors. Macro Bar are packed with 100% plant-based ingredients to fuel your body and mind. Macro bars are made from simple, high-quality ingredients and are certified organic, vegan, gluten-free, kosher, non-GMO, and soy-free. What I also love about Go Macro is for my patients that have digestive issues, maybe have some SIBO, and we're working on healing their gut and dealing with the SIBO. So anybody that has any food allergies, food sensitivities, or any food dietary restrictions for a while, Go Macro offers 3 delicious nut-free flavors for people that are allergic to nuts or have nut issues, including their oatmeal chocolate chip, so good, their maple sea salt, love that one too, and sunflower butter plus chocolate, man, so good. And also 10 certified FODMAP-friendly flavors for the people that have digestive issues and SIBO and things like that, so that everyone can enjoy a delicious snack. Year-round, a percentage of annual net proceeds from the Everlasting Joy Macro Bar goes to Solutions for Change to help in their mission of solving family homelessness in America. They equip people in every stage of their journey with the skills, knowledge, and resources to permanently solve their homelessness. Join Go Macro as they help to end hunger and solve homelessness by going to gomacro.com and use promo code WillCole for 30% off plus free shipping on all orders over $50. That's gomacro.com. Use promo code WillCole for 30% off plus free shipping. In the book, you talk about the health benefits of each of these 8 landscapes. So can you go over the 8 landscapes and talk about the different facets of each one?
Yeah. So I definitely, you know, I've been interested in Shirinoku, like you, for a while, forest bathing. And I've also been covering a lot of the research on blue space, so sort of the health benefits of being near the coast and the ocean. So I was curious if there was sort of any research in other landscapes that, you know, people love and, you know, tend to visit, and, you know, just sort of finding the, I think there's an inherent connection to, you know, all of these different places in nature. They all make us feel, you know, a certain way, but there are also some really interesting sort of nuances in each one. So the 8 that I chose to cover in this book, so each chapter is a different landscape, are oceans, forests, mountains, deserts, grasslands, cities, ice and snow, so like snowy landscapes, and then desert. I think I didn't repeat any of them. So
I think you said desert twice, but maybe.
Darn.
Yeah, it's okay. There's 8 of them. They have to get
in order and then I messed it up.
Well, deserts, I do love deserts, so I do feel like they need a second message mention. But they can get the book to read all the 8. But
there you go.
Yeah. So what are the different aspects, I guess, between each one?
Yeah. Okay. So rivers is the one that I missed, I think.
Okay. Rivers. So, my wife loves rivers. So you can't miss out. Oh, she's drawn to rivers, not for sure.
That's super interesting. I mean, it's fascinating too. I've become like really fun at parties because I just ask people what their favorite landscape is. And at least it's a really fascinating conversation. I think it's fun to think about.
Yeah. Like what part of nature are you drawn to? I tend to be drawn more to the desert. My wife's drawn to rivers. Not that I appreciate them all. And the older I get, I'm drawn to forests. So I think because I grew up in Western Pennsylvania, there's lots of forests. And I think I didn't appreciate it enough. I took it for granted, to be honest. And now the older that I get, I'm really taking it in, all the four seasons and the beauty of it, and not appreciating it, which I think a lot of us, it's probably a good lesson for all of us, the nature around us and not taking it for granted.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And as I think memory, you know, has such a huge role in it. And, you know, if it's a landscape that you grew up in, you sort of inherently feel at ease in, I think that can, you know, really make it all the more restorative because you're not really on edge while you're there. You sort of know it and feel familiar.
Absolutely.
Which is interesting whenever I meet people who like deserts and didn't grow up in them. I'm like, oh.
You know what it was? It was good old Mind Body Green, Jason and Colleen.
Revitalize.
Yeah. I'm like, there's something deeply ancestrally magical about deserts and primal about it. But yeah, so let's go over you don't have to go over everything because it's in the book. They can read the book for all the different aspects and health benefits of these different landscapes. But what are some of your favorites, I guess, out of the eight?
Yeah. So, I mean, I love them all. They all, you know, have something really super interesting to provide. Let's see. We can start off with, I think the ocean is a really interesting one just because anecdotally, that seems to be a lot of people's favorites, at least that I've talked to.
Yeah.
You know, people really feel alive when they're by the water. And there are a few different, you know, sort of reasons that might be. I think, again, it goes back to memory. So, you know, if you're someone who grew up, you know, visiting the coast on, you know, family vacation, for example, and have really positive associations with that, you know, I think the sound of the waves is really transportive in, you know, a certain sense. So you can sort of close your eyes, hear the sound of the ocean, and it'll sound, you know, similar to where that you had that experience. So I think it's like transportive in that way that tends to resonate with people. There's this really fascinating book by a marine biologist called named Wallace J. Nichols. And he talks about how the sounds of the ocean is also sort of like resonant of the sound of the womb. So it's sort of familiar in that sort of whoosh of that sense. So I think that's another cool theory. So the ocean's awesome. You know, I think just any green space seems to have a really restorative impact on the mind. So, you know, one of the leading theories as to why is called the attention restoration theory. And it essentially says that, you know, when we're sort of stuck indoors or on technology all day, our mind is constantly, you know, working and, you know, it's always involved in some sort of process. But, you know, when we step outside and we see, you know, greenery, it just provides a place where the mind can sort of relax. And it's, you know, inherently familiar to us. You know, we don't have to do as much mental sort of, you know, processing. So there's been some fascinating research to show that, you know, when we do step outside, even if it's just for a little while, we tend to come back feeling less mentally fatigued and more, it sort of enhances our cognitive capacity. So, you know, I think any sort of access to greenery that you have can be really healing.
Absolutely. So can we talk more about the health benefits? You mentioned the immune modulation, the benefits of the immune system. You also in the book talk about short-term benefits of stress hormone, like stress reduction, nervous system improvement. And then there's some long-term benefits too, as far as supporting longevity. Can we talk about both of those?
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, we definitely know that, you know, in the short term, people tend to come back from experiences in nature. And I say experiences in nature, this can literally just be sitting outside, you know, in your local park and taking in the surroundings. So it doesn't have to be some grand getaway. Mm-hmm. But yes, reporting less self-reported stress, but also having lower levels of, you know, things like cortisol and different markers of stress. So that's in the short term. And then there's also been some really, really cool, you know, large scale epidemiological studies to show that, you know, people who live within closer proximity to green space, so a park or even, you know, a patch of trees, actually tend to live longer and have less all-cause mortality, which is fascinating. And there are a lot of different, you know, theories as to why that is. I think part of it probably does go back to that stress response. I think you and I both know that stress is very bad for the body. And it can lead to all sorts of, you know, negative effects.
Yeah.
So there's definitely that part of it. But there's also, you know, I think being outside, it tends to encourage us to move. So I think people who live closer to parks tend to, you know, be more likely to walk outdoors and sort of reap all the health benefits of that long term. There's some cool emerging research to show that, you know, nature really encourages us to have social interaction and, you know, tends to be more of a gathering place for community, which again is so wonderful for health and, you know, it's so necessary. So I think all these factors sort of come together and
Absolutely. It's a confluence of benefits here. I know that I, in functional medicine, for all of my patients, prescribe forest bathing and getting out inside as much as you can and coming up with protocols and practices and how to use nature as a meditation. I talk about it in my books as well, which is just an outpouring of what I see clinically work for people. But isn't it true, like I'm just in functional medicine there, but is it true that physicians, conventional physicians in Japan actually prescribe forest bathing to patients just as a go-to in conventional medicine? Is that true?
Yeah, no, it is true. I mean, I can't say that like all conventional, you know, physicians do in Japan, but there's definitely a growing movement of it. And even in the States, like I interviewed a cardiologist for this book. And, you know, I wouldn't say that he, you know, prescribes himself to functional medicine, but he does it's this program called Walk with a Doc, which is super interesting. Actually might be something you'd be interested in getting involved in too, but it's, you know, essentially, you know, doctors actually walking outside with their patients in local parks and sort of making, you know, an event out of it. And yeah, he just said, you know, he was sort of tired of prescribing the same medicines over and over and, you know, seeing them not, you know, work the way he wanted to. So it was this new approach. I know in Canada too, there are some really cool new programs that essentially a doctor can actually, it gets money from the government to prescribe national park passes to people who might not otherwise be able to afford them, patients. So that's a super cool movement that I hope sort of continues to take off. It's small right now, but definitely growing.
I love that. Maintaining muscle health is critically important to longevity and enduring good health. Postbiotics, the active nutrients your body makes during digestion, are an emerging driver in the scientific literature when it comes to good health. Something called urolithin A is one of the first postbiotics shown in the research to have major health benefits and has become available to all of us right now. Urolithin A upgrades your body's cellular power grid, giving your body the energy it needs to optimize. Clinical studies have shown that just 500 milligrams of urolithin A alone significantly increases muscle strength and endurance with no other change in lifestyle. My go-to for urolithin A is MitoPure from Timeline Nutrition. I love this product. If you know, if you haven't listened to the episode, I had their chief medical officer on the show to talk all about the science, and we geek out all about gut health and postbiotics and prebiotics and probiotics. Go back and listen to that episode if you haven't yet. Timeline Nutrition is a Swiss-based life science company and is a global leader in urolithin A research, and their products are NSF certified for sport. Timeline is offering 10% off your first order of MitoPure. Go to timelinenutrition.com/WillCole and use code WillCole to get 10% off your order. That's TimeLineNutrition.com/WillCole. I recommend trying their starter pack with all three formats that they have. So we're talking about bigger nature experiences, but you talk about in the book about you don't have to necessarily travel far, and you can use what are some nature immersion practices people can try just wherever they're at. Maybe they're in the city, maybe they're in an apartment building and there's not a lot of green space. What are some things they can do?
Yeah. So you definitely don't have to travel far. You know, that was sort of a misconception I think I went into for this book as well. But the more, you know, researchers I talked to, the more that they said that, you know, I love one woman put it as, you know, you can have a really satiating meal, like a Thanksgiving meal, for example, but you also need that like daily nourishment. So I think just, you know, getting outside in whatever nature that you do have access to is super, super important and shouldn't be overlooked. A few different ways to do so. There's this one sort of practice that I love that was coined by a researcher named Dacher Keltner over in Berkeley, and he calls them all walks. awe is a super cool emotion. You know, it's sort of just the feeling that we get when we're perceived with something new and mm-hmm. seemingly vast. And it sort of reorients the way that we see the world. So I think of, you know, views from the top of a mountain, for example, are mm-hmm. a great example.
Yeah.
But we can also find awe, I think, in the everyday. And it's all really about, you know, again, sort of employing maybe some of those Shirin Yoku practices of slowing down, you know, really looking around to see what you can see, maybe going out without your headphones in, you know, actually like listening to your surroundings. One practice that I've sort of adopted that I really love, that was inspired by a research study that I read about, was you essentially adopt a different persona when you go outside. So say I pretend I'm like a painter and I'm looking for a beautiful new color to use or something like that, that can really just make, you know, your everyday environment look a little bit different and sort of make you more likely to feel in awe of something around you. So yeah, you can really have fun with it, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I'm thinking of that word awe, and on social media, it's been a few years, I will just take pictures of things that I think are beautiful in nature, whether it's a landscape, a sunrise, sunset, forest bathing, or crystals, or houseplants, whatever. And I always use the hashtag or just write out God art. And to me, that's like what it is. It's like art, God art. And the amount of people that tag me in their Instagram stories of God art is so cool to see. People getting outside, appreciating it, being in awe. And even, not to get super off track, but the Old Testament in the Bible, the word when you the people talk about fearing God or the fear of God, the actual word for it is ira in Hebrew, which is awe. It's actually to be in awe of God. And if you're coming from that perspective of just being awe of nature and creation, it is beautiful. And I've read studies that showed and reports that showed just pictures of nature can have similar benefits. Is that true?
Yeah, so that's really fascinating too. And I actually, one of the awe researchers who I spoke to for this book, she said something similar. You know, she spends day in and day out sort of studying this emotion. And she told me, I think I asked her, like, how do you feel awe in every day, you know, if you're not able to get out? And she said she actually has an awe folder on her desktop. So again, of those sort of photos that elicit mm-hmm. the emotion in her, and she'll sort of flip through them. And, you know, so I definitely think photos can have a positive impact. They can't replace the real thing, but they're definitely, you know, a good thing to look at from time to time.
Yeah. And I've also seen people really, when I have patients that travel across time zones, to really help support their resetting their circadian rhythm to avoid jet lag and feeling like off, just looking at the sunset, getting out in nature is one of the best ways to avoid jet lag as much as possible. Is that right?
Oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, resetting the circadian rhythm is something we write a lot about at MBG, but it's super interesting. And also another sort of, you know, fascinating side body of that is, you know, when people go out camping, so they're not as surrounded by artificial light and, you know, they don't use their phones as much, it's like one of the quickest ways to really reset the circadian rhythm and help your sleep, help energy levels, and really get into like the sleep pattern that your body wants to be in, but you don't really want it be in because of, you know, all that nighttime light and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, get off blue light, people. at least wear blue light blocking glasses, if nothing else. So let's talk about houseplants. You talk about so many different tips of making your home, like bringing in nature indoors in the book. I talk about desert. I have these huge cactus behind me.
Those are cool.
They're as tall as I am, for people that you know, can't see this if you're listening to the podcast. But, and you have some beautiful houseplants behind you. Like, what are some of your favorite houseplants? Because you're such a brilliant editor anyways, and you know so much about the science of health houseplants, and any pro tips with houseplants that you have?
Yeah, I mean, I do love houseplants, and they are great. I mean, you know, I think you're either, a lot of people would say they're not houseplant people, but I think everyone can be a houseplant person. I think they're a great way to bring nature indoors. You know, there's emerging fields like horticultural therapy that sort of show that they actually can be very, you know, healing. And for people who aren't able to get outside, they can, you know, really bring some of these stress-reducing benefits indoors, which is really cool. Pro tips about houseplants. I mean, I think it's all about light. You got to give them light. They're not going to be happy if they don't get light. Definitely know what you're getting into before you buy a houseplant. You know, don't get something that's not going to thrive in your space because it'll just make you sad. Nothing sadder than a dying houseplant.
No, it's pretty sad.
And don't overwater. feel the soil before you water it. And if it's not dry, don't water it.
Yeah. There are house plants that do better with less light. So I think some people are thinking, oh, I don't have the space, I don't get at good. But do you know of any house plants that do better with less light?
Yeah. So, less light, but they still need some light.
Some light, yeah.
Snake plants are really good for that.
Yeah.
Those can be good. Let's see. Pothos can be okay with low light, philodendron. Mm-hmm. But you definitely don't want to put them in a windowless room.
Yeah. And there are lamps that can mimic the light, right? I've never got into that as far as knowing enough about it to speak on it. But do you have any tips for people that absolutely have no, maybe they're in a cubicle in an office with no window and they want some green space because they're in their office all day long? Is there a lamp they can buy for that?
Yeah, they have LED lights that you can use. They're actually there are a lot these days, and you can find ones that just look like normal, lights, but set them up near your plant and they'll be happy under those for sure. They can work well.
And I don't know the research around PEMF mats that can mimic nature. I think it's fascinating too. They're ones that are smaller where if you can't get outside, even put a PEMF mat in your office. Do you know, have you ever looked into this or studied this at all?
Yeah, I think they're earthing mats, right?
Yeah, basically earthing mats.
Yeah. I have heard of those. I've done a little bit of reporting about earthing as a practice. I think it's super cool. Essentially, it's just the, idea of going outside and standing barefoot on the earth and sort of, reaping the benefits of the earth beneath your feet. I haven't seen any good research on them, honestly, but, I've talked to people who anecdotally enjoy using them. So if they work for you, I say go for it.
Yeah, I notice a difference. I like it because I am inside a lot where it is calming. But you know what it also has is some infrared heat too, which I know is also relaxing. But I think a combination effect, I definitely notice an improvement. But nothing beats nature. So you can't fully mimic nature with technology, in my opinion. But we can try.
Absolutely.
We can try.
I would agree.
Second best.
I would agree with that.
To live your healthiest, longest life possible, you need to understand what's going on inside. Inside Tracker takes a personalized approach to health and longevity from the most trusted and relevant source, your body. Inside Tracker was created by experts in aging, genetics, and biometric data from Harvard, Tufts, and MIT. Inside Tracker provides personalized health analysis and clear recommendations, plus an action plan on how to live healthier, longer. Inside Tracker can also calculate your biological age. I love this part of the data. You can actually see how you're aging from the inside out compared to your chronological age, as well as ways to lower your biological age based on their recommendations, based on your lab results. It's what I do in functional medicine. It's bioindividuality at its best. And actually, selfishly, when initial telehealth consultations, I love when people already have their Inside Tracker report and I can go over it with them on their initial consult. But the great thing is, even if you're not a patient of mine, you can get access on this great information to have it for yourself. I love this. The democratization, the decentralization, so people can have agency over their health and have responsibility for it. And did you know that you can use your HSA, your HRA, and your FSA to buy an Inside Tracker plan? So if you have an HSA, FSA plan, check that out. Which means you can purchase Inside Tracker using your tax-free dollars. It gets better. For a limited time, you get 20% off the entire Inside Tracker store when you sign up. So if you're ready to get a crystal clear picture of what's going on inside your body based on lab data, along with science-backed recommendations to optimize what's not working for you, then visit insidetracker.com/artofbeingwell. That's insidetracker.com/artofbeingwell. My friend, the podcast is called The Art of Being Well. This is MLO's Art of Being Well. I'm going to throw out different questions. I want to know, pick your brain about different facets of wellness. Are you up for this formidable challenge?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Okay. First question. What's a healthy food that is the worst tasting healthy food, but you eat it because it's so good for you, not because of the taste?
Oh my gosh, this is hard. I kind of don't love the taste of broccoli, but I eat it. That might be one.
I don't like the taste of broccoli either. Yeah, broccoli, not the best tasting vegetable fruit. I think you can really make it pretty good. We'll put it in the oven and bake it. I think it's, or fried sometimes tastes good, but it's definitely not my favorite at all.
Yeah, you can cover up the taste. But I don't.
We got some sulforaphane in there. Broccoli sprouts I love broccoli sprouts for the sulforaphane compound to support detox, methylation pathways, but it doesn't taste good. No one's going to say that broccoli sprouts actually tastes great. Maybe they will. Maybe there's some freaks out there that love it, but I just do it because it's good for my health. All right. That's the natural next question that comes up is, what is your favorite vegetable?
Oh my gosh. I really love kale. And I think that might also be a little controversial, but I'm team kale. I eat it every week. I just buy a bunch and wash it, and then I massage it and eat it every day for lunch in a salad. And I think it's so versatile. I think it tastes really good. Goes with everything. Stands up to dressing well. I love kale.
I love it. Team kale.
Team kale.
I know there's different types of kale. Do you have a favorite type of kale or no?
I do really like dinosaur kale, but I am pretty kale agnostic. I'll buy whatever looks good.
I think this should be the title of this episode, Kale Agnostic.
Kale Agnostic. So wellnessy.
What are two supplements that have been the biggest game changers for you personally?
Let's see. Vitamin D. I think as much as we get outside in the sun, we should still be taking vitamin D. I think that's been great for me personally. And then, not to plug Mind Body Green supplements, but I do love Mind Body Green Sleep Support. It's a magnesium supplement. Yep. Take it every night. Really awesome for supporting sleep. Yeah. Really can't go a night without that one.
Yeah. Honestly, Mind Body Green supplements, they're all down beside my desk here because I love them so much.
Yeah. They're great.
This is a good question here. What is an overrated supplement in your opinion? It may be fine. It may be healthy. It may be good for somebody else. But for you, you just don't know what all the fuss is about.
Oh gosh, that's a hard question. I really don't know if I can answer that one. To be honest, I don't know enough about supplements to say. I mean, I know that, you know, the ones I take, I like, but yeah, I don't know.
So you're focused on the things that you love. That's all right.
Focusing on the positive.
Yeah, that's right. Do you think we're better or worse off with social media?
Oh my gosh. I'm going to say worse. I am. But I also, with that being said, like, can so see, you know, the sort of pros of it. And I think it is really wonderful for meeting new people and, you know, sort of engaging in communities you might not otherwise have access to. I think for me personally, it can be very mentally draining. Even if I'm not on it, it can be stressful to think about. So for me personally, it's negative. For society at large, like, we shall see.
Yeah, we shall see. We're one massive experiment. Yeah, it's true. If you are able to live to the age of 100, okay, and keep either the mind or the body of a 30-year-old for the last 70 years of your life, which would you want, MLO?
Well, the mind and body are so connected.
Very true. That's what we talk about. For the sake of this question.
I'll go with body.
Like the physical, let's just say the physical strength, ability of a 30-year-old or the mental capacity of a 30-year-old.
Yeah. I'll go with body because then I can keep moving and hopefully reap some mental benefits from that.
I asked this question. I had a team dinner after seeing patients one day. I assumed most people would say mind because they want to be sharp and everything. Most people said body. I was surprised by that.
Interesting. Yeah. It's a good question.
Yeah, they said the same thing. They said at least they'll look good and be able to do things. And then, you know, it's a personal question, guys.
There's
no shame here. What is one wellness brand? It could be a food, it could be a snack, it could be a product that you've really been loving lately.
Well, besides Mind Body Green supplements, I would have to say I tried this really cool new, it's not new, it's old, but it's newer to the US, Japanese superfood the other week called Manda. And it's essentially like a fermented like fruit and vegetable paste.
Yes.
And really enjoyed it. I think it tastes good. You know, it's supposed to have all these great benefits for you. And it's also a different version of it is actually used as a plant fertilizer, which I thought was really cool. So yeah, I would encourage people to check them out.
I've used this before. I haven't used it recently. And it was like the smallest plant. And it was a frozen thing. It was definitely a green Japanese plant, but you could put it in smoothies. Is it the same thing? I don't know if it's the same thing or not. But
this one is like a combination of a lot of different fruits and vegetables and fermented. But
what's the name of it again? I have to check this out.
Manda, A or M-A-N-D-A. Yeah.
Manda. I will check it out and put it in the show notes for people.
There you go.
What is your favorite restaurant in the world and what do you order when you're there?
Oh my gosh. I'm just going to have to go with what's on top of my mind. It's not a healthy answer.
It's but, okay.
No. You know, balance.
Hashtag balance.
I love Joe's Pizza in New York. I live in New York City and I think they have the best pizza. And I get pepperoni slice and I put hot honey on it and it's the perfect treat.
Wow. Joe's Pizza?
Mm-hmm.
What part of the city is Joe in?
Joe is everywhere. It's a chain.
Okay.
So you can find him in many different parts of the city. There's one near my apartment now. Definitely next time you come, you got to check it out.
I looked up. I went with my kids not too long ago to the city and we found the top rated gluten-free pizzas. And you know who I use as a reference is our mutual friend, Phoebe Lapine.
Oh.
She had a whole gluten-free pizza guide in Manhattan and I loved it. And
there are tons now. Yeah,
there's a lot. There's a lot. All right, next question. This is kind of controversial in the wellness world, but a food that I love and enjoy, and I know it's not the best, there's better alternatives, is peanut butter. I get a lot of flack. We had Dr. Stephen Gundry on. He said, if I'm okay with slowly killing myself, is what he told me. He said that in jest. But what are your thoughts on peanut butter? Are you a peanut butter person, or what's your thoughts?
Oh my gosh. Well, I can't believe you're asking me this. I eat peanut butter every day.
What? I knew I loved you.
I'm slowly killing myself, I guess.
All right, what's your favorite peanut butter? Do you have a favorite go-to?
I don't really have a favorite. I mean, I try and buy, you know, the natural stuff. So if I'm at Whole Foods, I'll get their brand, Trader Joe's. I've had the one I think tastes best is Skippy, but I try not to do that to myself.
Skippy, yeah.
But yeah, I do have an apple and peanut butter for breakfast every morning of the week, at least. And I find that it, you know, keeps me satiated. I've always tried to switch over to almond butter, but I can't really do it. I love the taste of peanut butter.
Me too. And you know what? I like the decent almond butter options out there. No shame, no shade to almond butter.
Definitely.
But to me, it's just not the same as peanut butter. You cannot... It's like apples and oranges. You cannot say an apple is an orange. It's just two different things.
I'm with you.
Next question. Do you have any, you know all the research. You really immersed yourself in the latest in health and wellness news and research. Do you have any tips for if somebody's having trouble sleeping? What's your top tips to get a great night's sleep?
Yeah, so this is something that I write about a lot on MBG. So definitely have some ideas here. If anyone really has, you know, trouble sleeping, of course, I'd encourage them to see a doctor and sort of get it checked out. But just for everyday sort of, you know, issues falling asleep quickly, I think like we mentioned, being on tech late at night really isn't good. If you're going to have to do it, you know, at least use a pair of blue light blockers. I have a pair that look ridiculous, but I do think they really work. You know, dimming the lights, things like that can be super helpful. Keeping your bedroom cold, dark, and quiet. So I think the ideal temperature I've heard, I think Ellen Vora was the one who told me this, but was 67 degrees, give or take. So cold, you know, and that's because you sort of want your body temperature to go down while you're sleeping. If you get too hot, it can, you know, sort of disrupt the process. So cold, dark, I use a pair of eye masks and I find that that's super effective just because my apartment doesn't get dark enough and quiet. You know, some people like sleeping with white noise. Some people like it totally pin drop quiet, but at least, you know, make sure you don't have any disruptions there. And then, I mean, the number one sleep tip that I always get from sleep doctors is to go to bed and wake up at the same time every day. Your body just really craves that consistency. And once you get in the habit of it, I think it's a lot easier to do.
Yeah. I posted the research around the temperature at night. Like it was, I think 60, even 64 to 67, but like 67 seems reasonable for more reasonable than 64. It does seem extremely cold for, especially in the summer months to a bad amount of energy to get at that. Maybe in the colder Northeast winters, it'd be pretty easy to get there. But what I also have implemented in different patients' lives, if they didn't want their energy bill to be that much in the summer months, is the chili pad. Have you heard of the chili pad before? It like basically calms your body just by cooling off your bed.
No, is that like something you put on your bed and it's sort of interesting?
Yeah, they're not a sponsor on the podcast at all, but I have seen it work for people that are like, I live in whatever, South Florida, or I live in the desert and I can't put my house to 67 during the summer months. So, okay, like this is another option too, where it's still using energy, but it's a lot less than cooling off the entire house.
Yeah, it's smart.
Yeah. What's your favorite? We went from sleep, now we're going to energy. Years of experience in the health and wellness world. What's your pro tips to, if someone's having a lull in energy and they need a little pick-me-up boost of energy, what would be your tips?
Definitely get outside. I think, yeah, going back to, you know, going outdoors, getting that fresh air can be so reinvigorating. And just taking a break in general. You know, I find that a lot of times when I'm like, feel physically tired, it's because I'm also like mentally fatigued. So, you know, taking a break, walking away, and then coming back to it, I feel a lot better. Drinking water, I think, is so key. I drink a ton of water and, you know, I think it's essential. Mm-hmm. Exercising, moving the body. I'm a runner and I think that's the best, you know, sort of wellness thing I do for myself every day, and mentally and physically, it can just be so invigorating.
Definitely. What's your, if you had to give, I mean, you've given a lot throughout the conversation, but any other free, maybe your favorite free or low cost wellness tool that you love that we haven't talked about today? Because nature, forest bathing is completely free, my friends. So we've given you lots of free and low cost things. Any other ones that you really are geeking out about?
Yeah, I mean, it's not, you know, anything new or exciting, but I think, you know, social interaction is really it for me. You know, just connecting with your loved ones, I feel like it's such an underrated part of just whole body health. Mm-hmm. But I think we need other people, and, you know, we need to sort of feel in community. And I think you really can't overstate the benefits of that. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And a lot of the physiological benefits are kind of in many ways mirror forest bathing, right? I mean, it's like lowered inflammation, lowered stress hormones, better quality of life. People tend to live longer with better social, healthier social connections. We're not talking about just any old social connections, healthy social connections.
Definitely. I think they're intertwined. That's another really fascinating body of research that's happening, is sort of, you know, showing how social interactions can even be like enhanced when we connect with people outdoors, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, very cool. Speaking of social connections and people having different personalities, do you know what Myers-Briggs or Enneagram personality you are?
I'm the most rare one. I say that as like a humble brag, but no, I think it's INTJ.
Okay. I think that's what I am. I am something
really?
Like that. Oh, yeah. I'm pretty close. Oh, wow. We're rare birds right here.
What's your astrology sign?
I'm a Libra.
Oh, I can see that.
Yeah, I'm a Libra. I'm going to butcher this because I'm not an expert. Libra, the sun sign is the main one, right?
The main one, yeah.
Okay, so Libra sun, and then my rising moon or whatever the next one is a Libra as well. So I'm like a double Libra.
I see that. Okay.
Yeah. I apologize for all my astrology friends out there. I know I'm a Libra. Let's leave it at that. Okay, next question. What's the weirdest wellness thing that you've done that you're willing to admit on a podcast? And weird is relative. I know it's so relative.
Yeah, it's relative. I think the most, like the one that took the most getting used to maybe for me, or the one where I felt most out of place at first, but actually grew to really love, is sound bathing. And just, you know, collecting in a group of people, going into a room and just listening to sound together with your, you know, eyes closed and letting it really, you know, impact you, and screaming if you need to, you know, things like that didn't necessarily come naturally to me. It's not something I grew up doing, but I found that it was so, you know, cathartic, and it's really incredible. I think music is another, you know, great example of just something that can be free, but is really a wonderful way to, you know, evoke emotion and help you move through things.
Yeah, absolutely. I skipped over Enneagram. Do you know what Enneagram you are?
Which one's the Enneagram?
It's like the... there's nine numbers. There's one, and like I'm a five, which is a researcher. Enneagram five.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember what number I am, but I think it's called the creative, if that's
maybe
one.
Four. A four? Four is an individualist, I would assume. No. Pretty creative. I'm not an Enneagram expert either, but I'm always curious about what my friends are and what my guests are.
Yeah. And you are both. I forgot. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I can tell you I'm a Gemini, though.
All right. Astrology. Let's leave it at that. All right. Do you go to Starbucks or are you a wellness purist? If you go to Starbucks, what's your order?
I do go to Starbucks. No shade to Starbucks. I actually don't love their coffee, but I like their spinach feta egg wrap. I think it's really good. And if you're on the go and need something, it's a good, healthy-ish option.
I love that. This is a deep question, but you wrote a book called The Spirit Almanac, which is an amazing read. Do you believe personally in life after death?
That's a great question. I think I believe in something after death. I don't know if I would call it like life in the way that we live life now, but I do believe that, yes, the soul, you know, continues. Another fascinating area of work.
Very, very much so. Last question. What's a book that you've read in the last year? It could be fiction, nonfiction, that's really got you thinking in a fresh new way.
I just finished reading The Ministry of the Future by Kim Stanley Robinson, which is a fictional account of the future under climate change. And it's a pretty heavy read, but it's really fascinating because it's sort of, you know, posits what could happen if a lot of the actions we're taking against climate change actually are successful. So It was sort of, you know, a rallying, mobilizing read. Really loved it. Would recommend it.
Brilliant. We'll put the links in the show notes at drwillcole.com for all the things we talked about on today's episode. I said that was my last question, but I have one more. I have to pick your brain about this because people are going to be wanting to know from a brilliant Mind Body Green editor and author in her own right, if you could only use one skincare product, what would that product be? The people want to know about this and they don't like it when I don't ask.
I really like Osmia. It's a brand out of Colorado, and I love their face bar soap. Like, I really love bar soap because, you know, no packaging, and I like the feeling of, you know, using a bar. So yeah, I'd say their bar soap. I'm using, I think it's like the rose one right now. It's orange, but it's great. I use it every night.
Very cool. All right, my friend, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Where can people learn more about your amazing work? Can you give it the names of the books so they can get those, all the things? Where can people go and find you?
Yeah, so my website is just my name, emmalowey.com. You can find links to everything there. My books are called The Spirit Almanac, which I co-wrote with Lindsay Kellner, who's another wonderful angel friend of ours. And then the latest book is called Return to Nature. Then Mind Body Green, you can find most of my writing there, and as well as a lot of other great work by my fellow editors.
Love it. My friend, come back anytime. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Will. It's great to see you.
Thanks again for listening to The Art of Being Well. If you have a chance, please rate and review the podcast here. And if you like what you're hearing, hit follow and pass it along to a friend. To see more, head to drwillcole.com/podcast. I'll be back every Monday and Thursday, and I hope you will too. Talk soon.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.